Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want to thank the legislature for passing State Statute 715.075, which went into effect on July 1st. This is ultimately to put some much-needed additional requirements and accountability as it pertains to allowing private parking and private parking parking on private lots.
Yeah, very interesting. I think I had known about this law and some of the changes, but I hadn't quite put 2 and 8 together to make 15. Or 10, until the mayor was talking about it yesterday. And some of the stuff in this law is actually, I mean, I completely support this. This is a really, really good law. We don't always get to say that the law passed in Tallahassee was a really good law. This is a good law.
There's three really big points to this statute that, number one, the owner or operator of the private parking lot must place signage that is clearly visible to the people entering that lot that says that this property is not operated by a governmental entity. It should list the rates for the parking charges for violating the rules of the property owner or operator, provide a working phone number, emphasis on working, and an email address to receive questions and complaints, and provide notice of what is now required, which is a 15-minute grace period for camera-operated private lots. When you pull into a lot, as long as you don't take a space, you are required now by state law to allow 15 minutes for someone to be in there and not issue them a ticket when they leave if they have not taken a space. So not only is that in for, that is also supposed to be on the signage and the clear rules about their appeal process.
Wait, you mean the parking lot operator is supposed to have a giant sign explaining to you what the enforcement mechanism is and how it's not connected to the city and what the rates are and how to resolve dispute? You mean Tallahassee made a law requiring them to operate, you know, on the up and up? Don't you kind of have that reaction? I mean, it seems pretty obvious, right? Of course, the problem is that none of them are doing it yet. We'll get to that in a second.
An invoice for the parking charges issued must include the following statement in uppercase type. This invoice is privately issued, is not issued by a governmental authority, and is not subject to criminal penalties. And if you are giving an invoice for parking charges, and that's where you hear the word invoice, not ticket, because there is no legal ability for a private lot owner to give any kind of ticket that the city could give, it must include a method to dispute and appeal the invoice. The appeal process must go first to the owner operator. If they want to appeal, they have 10 days. And after receiving that judgment, they have the ability to appeal to a neutral third party adjudicator.
What a great clarification that it's not a ticket, it's an invoice, because they don't have any mechanism for enforcing it unless you show up later on their lot having not paid, and then maybe they can boot you or something like that. But he says,
we are currently looking into how to codify this within city and make sure that and explore every option that we have to hold private lot owners accountable to following these rules. These rules have been on the books of July 1st. We have not seen one lot in compliance of this yet, and we're now 30 days in.
His challenge was, if you media people want to drive around, see if you can find one, good luck. None of them are following the law, so they want to codify it into, you know, Pensacola city statutes, so then they can enforce it against the lot operators and make sure that they put these signs up and notice people that these are not city lots, because people are very confused about this stuff.
Frankly, why I'm so thankful that the state legislature has taken this on is that this business model is completely formulated around using the mayor and using the city as a human shield. And so the confusion that it causes, and when a ticket says municipal parking, as just happens to be the company's name, that issues this by mail, by the way, the city gives no parking citations through the mail. This business model thrives, and revenue generated thrives on creating confusion and making it seem as if this is coming from the city. Otherwise, you wouldn't call the ticket municipal parking. That is completely an attempt to scare someone into paying a ticket, of which they'd have no legal obligation to do. As you guys can imagine, we're already inheriting our own parking changes and in dealing with the changes in that and the anxiety that causes.
The name of the company is Municipal Parking. Or at least that's what they put on the top of the invoice. I mean, it'd be like if they put on the top, totally legitimate, you got to pay it note. It's like, it's so scuzzy. And I'm so glad the mayor explained all of this because I didn't even realize I don't park in, you know, I mean, I don't pay for parking to begin with. I certainly don't park in the red lots. My God, why? And so, you know, the fact that this is all what goes on is amazing to me.
Having additional inventory is not a bad thing. However, creating the confusion and leaving the problem and the obligation to the mayor or to the city as to any predatory practices that are happening is not fair to the city. It's not fair to the resident. And frankly, what it leaves us with is when a visitor comes here and parks in our town and gets a ticket in the mail, and they don't delineate between whether the mayor gave it out or whether a private lot gave it out. What they said is, I had a bad time in Pensacola because I got a ticket. That's what happens, and especially when they feel like it was on unfair terms.
So they pretend to be city legitimate. They do nothing to inform you that they're not city related. And then the city winds up paying the cost and reputation after the fact because of all the confusion over the... It's super scuzzy, man. So I'm glad they're taking action on this. By the way, the mayor is going to be here for an hour this morning, 7:30 to 8:30. We're going to take your phone calls and your texts exclusively about the subject of parking. So, and I've even put a Facebook post up on our News Radio Facebook page. So if you have questions you want me to ask, you can put them in there. Or you can text us like normal, 437-1620. We will get to all of that right now. We've got John Pickens is back.
Thank you.
Well, good to have you back, John, with Traffic on the Fives.
We've got just one little accident to let you know about at Gulf Breeze Parkway and College Parkway over in Gulf Breeze. No road blockage and minor delays associated with this. We've just got some onlookers. But I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're 64, turning 65, or you are retiring, you're going to change how you do your health insurance. You're going to switch from, you know, what you've probably been doing all of your life over onto Medicare. And that alone can be, you know, a little spooky, right? It can feel like, what is this? Is this right? Am I doing it right? It's not that hard. But it helps to have somebody who knows their way around, and that's Ricky Stewart. She's a good friend of mine. I've known her for as long as we've lived here, and her whole family does insurance. This is the one part she does. She just helps people get converted over onto Medicare. She can answer your questions about supplement and prescription drugs and Advantage and Medicaid. Does that apply to you or not? Like all of that stuff, okay? It doesn't need to be a stressful thing. It's actually a very simple thing, and she can help shepherd you through it. Ricky Stewart Insurance. You can look her up online or give her a call. 341-2185.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Superintendent of Schools. Under my leadership, we increased the graduation rate from 88% to 90.4%, increased industry certifications earned by students by 177%, and increased scholarships by $6 million. Our students rank third in algebra, fourth in reading, fifth in math, sixth in biology and U.S. history, and ninth in geometry. Let's keep the progress for our children going. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa County Superintendent.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family, an investment that will hold its value, and something that will last a long, long time. In a few words, you're buying trust. According to Consumer Reports, Subaru's been ranked the 2023 best mainstream automotive brand, and the Subaru Outback has been named the 2024 recommended model. For a limited time, you can celebrate them both with special offers during the Subaru Lot to Love event, now through September 3rd. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. There's certainly a lot to love about a Subaru. Safety, reliability, and owner satisfaction. And we invite you to stop by Anderson Subaru to discover what automotive experts and Subaru owners all know. It's easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Learn more at Subaru.com/CR. Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
People ask me almost every day, why are you doing this? This is Steve Stroberger. The answer is, it's time for a change. Our county commissioners are making decisions that benefit themselves, not the citizens of this county. Change, that would mean meetings open for voters' input. Decisions not predetermined by the commission before the vote. Yes, we need change. I'm Steve Stroberger. Now I would be honored to serve you, and I humbly ask for your vote.
Paid political advertisement by Steve Stroberger, Republican for County Commissioner, District 1.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior, in the classic sense.
Now, when it comes to people panhandling, we have to be very careful because, you know we live in a very litigious society, right? You see the commercials, the girl does a backflip and two twists and then says, you know, Alexander Muhammad got me $1 million for my devastating spinal injury. You're like, well, how in the world are you doing backflips? It's a very litigious society. So if we start arresting people, if the sheriff starts arresting people for panhandling, we will get sued by the ACLU and we will lose. But what we have done is we've crafted an ordinance. You cannot be in the streets, you cannot be in the medians, panhandling. If so, you can be arrested. And it's such a good ordinance that the city, God bless them, they took it, mimeographed it, and changed the words and implemented the same thing.
Mimeographed it? Mimeographed it? 1980 calls. No, that's actually not true. Part of what Commissioner Bergosh is saying is true, is that the city did actually pass their own ordinance. It is not a mimeograph, a copy, or a duplicate of the county's ordinance. In fact, the city ordinance is smarter than the county's ordinance. The county ordinance bans you from being panhandling on a median that's larger than 6 feet, which is all kinds of unclarity, okay, especially given the shape and size of some of the medians in our area. The city ordinance, which is very different in the way it's written. Oh, the city did pass an ordinance around the same time after the county passed one. But the city ordinance is not a carbon copy or a mimeograph or, a handwritten teletype or some other massively outdated technology of what the county did. The city one says that the person on the sidewalk can't interact with the car. See, the county ordinance, the problem with it is that, like, for example, you're getting off at the access road to go on to Brent Lane from 110. The person can stand there on the grass and interact with the car. It's not prohibited. A person on a sidewalk can interact with the car. It's not prohibited. What they prohibited was people standing in the median. Well, what if there's no median? Doesn't apply. The city one is much smarter because it applies to anybody interacting with the car. So that's the problem, is the car interaction from a public safety perspective. And so far from being a mimeograph of the county ordinance, it's actually a much smarter version of it. But okay, this was at the chamber from the Pensacola, the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce Forum. And, you know, Commissioner Bergosh was there. There were several candidates there. He also repeated a claim that they were asked about affordable housing, right? How do you create affordable housing?
Well, the issue is a supply and demand issue, plain and simple. For a long time, we didn't have enough supply. And so the prices of rent were through the roof. And so you're working one or two jobs and you could barely afford rent. In District 1, you take a drive, there's been development. And we've worked with the business community to facilitate that. But now that's a pendulum that swings different directions. And I believe right now the pendulum has swung too far in the direction of, in the favor of the developers. And what do I mean when I say that? I mean that the development that we've allowed to occur has helped the affordable housing. The problem is the infrastructure hasn't kept up.
You know what's funny about the way he says that? It's so sly. The development we've allowed has helped with inventory. True. True. But then listen to the back end of this comment.
I mean that the development that we've allowed to occur has helped the affordable housing. The problem is the infrastructure hasn't kept up.
But he makes it sound like the infrastructure failure is its own separate thing. Like, instead of saying the development we allowed has helped with supply, fair, true, but we have failed to keep up with the infrastructure. He doesn't take responsibility for that. And then he goes into his very normal branding. I mean, here, this is what he said, and then I'll talk about it.
Other places around the country that you see, before they put in a 400-unit apartment, they make them widen the roads. Or look at, is there enough facility, is there enough capacity in the nearby school? It's called concurrency. We had it in the county until 2011. The state took it out of their statutes in 2011. Governor Scott did. And then the county took it out in 2013. I've been trying to put it back in because I think it's a good way to have businesses help us fund the infrastructure along with, you know, providing the housing that they do. But
okay, he says he's been trying to put it back in. Number one, understand that Commissioner Ragosh is heavily subsidized by the building industry. Okay, heavily. That's a lot of his money comes from the builders. They do not want concurrency. So is okay. By the way, builders are entitled to subsidize who they want. They're entitled to fund who they want. I don't have a problem with that. That's how, you know, that's how elections work. But when he says I'm all for concurrency, and then you look at his finances and it all, much of it comes from the builders and developers, you know, construction tradesmen, that kind of stuff. That he says he's working on concurrency, which would make them pay for or at least provide funding for or create these infrastructure things as they're building, or that they wouldn't be able to build until those things are in place. Is he or isn't he? Now, he's right that he's kind of brought it up before a couple of times and it hasn't worked out. But I have challenged him since he has been pushing this so heavily for several months now. Put it on an agenda. You've got Stephen Barry has said he's open to the idea now. Wes Moreno, the county administrator, said he's open to the idea. You've got votes. Mike Kohler would vote for it. Lumen May, you know, we'll see. He'll do whatever Stephen Barry does. We don't have a fifth commissioner, but we don't need one. They could get concurrency probably put on. And so I have been tracking this, and I have been asking, when are you going to do it? We got a primary coming up in 2 weeks. When are you going to do it? He hasn't done it. 140 days. Concurrency watch day 140 and 8 board meetings with not a peep in the board meeting about putting concurrency on the agenda. And I said, look, if he wants to put it on, great. I'll support him. I'll praise him for it. He hasn't done it. Maybe he'll do it after the primary. If he wins the primary, maybe he'll do it after the general election. I don't know. I'll praise him for it if he does. But do it before the primary so we know you're serious and not just continually saying you're going to do it while taking money from people who oppose it and then not actually doing it but campaigning as if you love the idea. When you have a chance right now, when you could pass it, he's not doing it. So he's got a town hall tonight in Perdido. You could ask him what 140 and 8 means if you want. 140 days and 8 meetings and not a peep about concurrency on the agenda. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. But if you're traveling north and southbound on Highway 29 between Burgess and W Street, we're going to see about a 5-10-15 minute delay. I'd say more like a 10-minute delay as you go both north and south. And don't forget that the on-ramp at Highway 29 to go I-10 eastbound is still closed. It's going to be closed for a while. So pack your patience with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Pensacola Hardware, a great place to get your supplies, to get your safety equipment, to get whatever gear you need to do to anything from building homes and buildings for a living if you're a construction professional, or all the way to just somebody like me who just needs to fix the hole that suddenly appeared in the drywall. You know, whatever your need is, they've got it. And it's not just that they've got the stuff, but they've got the advice. Like, if you want to figure out how to do something or you have a plan and you want to check to see if your plan is good. I used to have a boss who always said, Andrew, I only want you to come to me for my advice in two situations, when you don't know what to do and when you do. which is, you know, always, right? Always ask, because it's always easier to, you know, get good advice before rather than try to undo the bad advice you followed after the fact. Pensacola Hardware, helping people build and rebuild and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, and also a really, really, really big hardwares or housewares section in the front that's got, you know, gumbo pots and grills and cutlery and all kinds of merchandise related to SEC and Yeti and just all that stuff. So great place to buy gifts, too, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. In the newsroom this morning, we've got filling in for David. We've got Steve Taylor.
Well, good morning. Strong storms are grounding some flights at 3 New York area airports, causing some cascading delays across the country and around the world. Nearly 200 flights had been canceled already for today at JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark after all three experienced some ground stops yesterday, basically because of the weather. So if you fly today, check with your airline. It's a good idea to do that before you head to the airport. And that's what's happening.
All right, very good. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk about my tour of the USS McCool, which is going to come commissioned here in September on the 7th. And then there's several dates prior to the commissioning when you can go on board for tours and you can see it for yourself and all kinds of stuff available. Just the best place. I guess we'll put a note for that up on our Facebook page so you can see the information for yourself.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Vice President Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz campaigned together in six more cities this week, a swing state blitz that started in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Governor Walz' introduction as running mate.
Violent crime was up under Donald Trump. That's not even counting the crimes he committed.
Former President Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance on Fox.
Selecting Tim Walz is another sign that she doesn't care what the American people think. She is only in this to obey the far left radicals within her own party.
And he's sort of shadowing the Harris-Walz campaign this week, also in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and Detroit, Michigan today. Four Milwaukee hotel workers are charged with Devontae Mitchell's murder. He was pinned down and died during what his family says was a mental health episode causing a disturbance at the hotel June 30th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 75 degrees and clear. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. A big concern with Debbie and throughout the entire hurricane season is flooding. Some residents in Pensacola are concerned areas in the city would see extensive damage if a storm like Debbie was to come our way. Now, Mayor D.C. Reeves says it's time to make improvements before it's too late.
We all feel the pain of it. I mean, if it just rains hard here for a couple hours, you know, within the city limits, we've got streets shut down, we've got to block off. We've got some real things to deal with, and we've got a list of about $150 million of stormwater projects. Our top 10 stormwater projects to fix would be $150 million.
Historic rainfall is expected for Charleston, South Carolina, and if Pensacola was in the situation, there's a good chance we would not come out unscathed.
My other option is to say we're super susceptible for flooding for the next 10 years. That's a much harder conversation to look someone in the eye when their house has been flooded, or that we lose an entire street in Cordova Park again.
The top 10 stormwater projects to fix would be about $150 million, and that money is not in the budget. According to the mayor, if we don't do something now, we could regret it later. The Waterfront Rescue Mission in Pensacola is opening Hope for Her, a shelter program dedicated to supporting homeless women in Escambia County. The facility will provide overnight shelter for up to 49 single women each night, including access to restrooms, showers, clean clothing, laundry services, warm beds, meals, and support from chaplains and other mission personnel. Hope for Her is a dedicated program to support the homeless women in Escambia County, and in recent years, the issue of homelessness among women in Escambia has grown significantly. According to the Florida Council on Homelessness annual report, the number of homeless individuals in Escambia surged by 61% from 2022 to 2023. Women, who make an average of 29% of the homeless population nationally, are particularly vulnerable due to factors such as economic instability, domestic violence, and the lack of affordable housing. Looks like another warm one today. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Another extremely hot day today with a high near 99 degrees, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Thursday, another hot day with a high near 98, 10% chance of a stray shower. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Direct Auto. Car insurance too expensive? Well, it's time you rolled with the affordable coverage. Stop compromising. Keep driving with Direct Auto. Get a free quote at directauto.com. Not seeing any accidents on the big board right now, but if you're headed southbound or even northbound right now on Highway 90, you're going to see some delays through that construction zone, about a five-minute delay through that. Also, some delays on Highway 90 in both directions. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks, John. Right now, 75 degrees with a sunrise in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and 79 in Milton at 6:35. Next news is 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Bernhard Capital Partners has agreed to buy the largest natural gas utility company in New Mexico for $1.25 billion. The private equity firm's deal to acquire New Mexico Gas is set to close in late 2025 and is subject to state and regulatory approval. Bernhard will assume $500 million in debt as part of the deal. New Mexico Gas has more than 500,000 customers and manages more than 12,000 miles of pipelines. Novo Nordisk shares dropped 7% after it posted weaker-than-expected net profit in the second quarter and trimmed its operating profit outlook. The pharmaceutical giant said its net profit came in at just over $2.9 billion in the 3 months to the end of June. The pharmaceutical giant also trimmed its operating profit outlook for 2024, saying growth is now anticipated to come in between a 20% and 28% range. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep, thanks for checking. I like the car. How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now, but I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code HOOD for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HOOD for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HOOD.
I'm Earl McCauley, and I'm running for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm a 22-year teaching veteran and 20-year resident of District 4. Last year, I was the Gulf Breeze High School Teacher of the Year with a 97% pass rate on a challenging AP literature exam. My goals as a board member are teacher retention, middle schools, and addressing issues with books and libraries. Your vote for Earl McCauley on August 20th will bring common sense for the school board. I'm Earl McCauley for School Board District 4, and I approve this message.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hello, this is Don Spencer, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. The clerk's office requires a leader that knows the entire office and its operations. That is why I'm endorsing Jason English as our next Clerk of Court. Jason has 18 years experience in the court system, 3 as my Chief Deputy Clerk. As I retire, he's the only candidate with the education and experience to successfully operate this office. Please join me on August 20th and elect Jason English as our next Clerk of Court and Comptroller. Thank you.
Paid for and approved by Jason English, Republican, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Here on News Radio 92.3, also AM 1620 and FM 95.3, and on the News Radio app. And News Radio Pensacola, download it. It is super easy to use. One of the advantages of the app is it also lets you listen to podcasts of the show after the fact. You can listen to all 4 hours of the program. If you're not in the car for it, you can still listen to it later if you want. And you can pause me, which I know some people, it's their favorite part. Pause, Andrew, stop talking. I got to order my hamburger. All right, so I've been covering the USS McCool, which is going to come commission here on the 7th. And also several events leading up to that. All the tours are going to be free. You can go tour the vessel. You will have to register, and the registration portal is not available just yet. But the information is up on our News Radio Facebook page about that. So we initially showed, kind of talked you through the false beach, the way the amphibious boat basically dips itself down in the water like a submarine to launch and capture boats. This massive storage area where they, you know, stage all of the equipment for the Marines. The flight deck where they have up to six helicopters, but they can only operate four at a given time. And then at right adjacent to the helo deck, right adjacent to the flight deck, we got brought into the medical area. And let me just give you this one thing about the medical area that it's obvious, but it's not obvious until you realize it. They're a hospital. The ship is a hospital. I mean, it's not a hospital ship, but it's a city, right? So it's got to have the ability to do all the things that people have when they live in a place. And hospital and dental is one of those things, and not just hospital for, you know, medical treatment for just ordinary stuff. But obviously, you know, you're launching Marines and boats into hot, you know, beach areas for amphibious assaults. There's going to be wounding and casualties, right? So that's something that they are equipped to handle. This is ASM2 De Jesus, the lab tech on board, kind of explaining all of the medical facilities to us.
So I wanted to start off by saying, if you guys have a question of why is medical on the same level as the hangar bay in our flight deck, the reason why medical is on this level is because we're a Role 2 facility. So once we receive patients from other areas, we bring them in here and take care of them, and then we would bring them back out to transfer them to a Role 3 facility, which would be like a hospital of
So, like a hospital ship is a three, and they're a two. So they have really high-level capability to handle wounded.
Notice that door down there? That's our morgue. Fortunately, we have not needed to use that so far. So, and then this room right here is our decon room, our decon station. So in case there of any, like, chemical attacks or any contamination, we would screen them in there first, get them decon before we would start seeing them. So after triage, we're going to then move our patients into our pre-op room so you guys can follow me.
And again, this, just to connect the dots, so why would it need to be on the same level as the flight deck? Because the rescue choppers bringing people back from either a water rescue or from a beach, bringing wounded back, and they're just taking them right down the hallway to decontamination and then to pre-op and triage and then into, you know, if they need an ultrasound, if they need to get anesthesia, if they need to be operated upon, all on the same level, right?
So right here, this is our pre-op room. This is where we will be assessing our patients. So right behind you is our portable X-ray machine. So we can use this to scan our patients to see what they might need to get surgery for and all that stuff. So the right here is bed. We'll be laying our patients down here, putting them IVs, getting them prepped for surgery. And right in here is our surgery room. This is our main OR. We have two operating rooms. This is main OR number one, and pretty much on our ship, we can essentially perform any type of surgery that we can. We have the capability to administer general anesthesia, and we also have a machine.
They can do it all. It's just a question of doing it a little bit more, larger volume is what the hospital ship is there for.
But for any general, like, mass capture, we could probably treat up to, like, I would say 30 to 40 patients, because we have about, in the later room over there, I'll show you guys, we have six ICU beds, and we have about 18 bunk beds. And then we could also set up a triage room, and we could also makeshift beds out here in the triage as well.
So is the idea that as you're landing Marines and they get wounded, they can come back here, they can be recovered back here for
yes.
treatment immediately and
yes.
not have to have a hospital ship? Or
yes, exactly. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. We treat here for pretty much our goal is to stabilize patients, and once they're good to go, depending on what their casualty or what their injuries are, that's when we would make ahead. We would decide if they need to get sent off or they're good to go and stay here to get stabilized, and then they can go right back out.
So first treatment, right? And I don't know if this might be a terrible analogy, but, you know, they're the MASH, right? They're the, if you think about the TV show, right, that's where the wounded come first. They get treated, they get stabilized, and then if they need to go to another facility somewhere else or to a hospital ship, they will, but they're there to take care of the folks that are wounded in the process of doing the landing and the amphibious assault that they are equipped to handle. And, you know, they have their own indigenous staff on board. Marines also bring their medical staff with them, Commander Mark Benke.
So the folks you're going to meet here today, including our dental doctor, our general practitioner doctor that we have on board, normally we're equipped with an IDC as well. What we have that we carry on board is Roll 2. We do have the facilities to be a Roll 3 facility, but we need additional personnel to do that. So when we go on deployment, right, the Marines will bring their own medical elements. So you're going to see doctors come out with them. You're going to see PAs. They'll bring their own foremen and things like that that will plus up our facilities here. Now to get up to that Roll 3, we will embark an expeditionary surgical resuscitative team, which is basically augments out from Portsmouth Naval Hospital or Balboa Naval Hospital, but to get actual surgeons on board, and anesthesiologists and trauma nurses, those kind of folks.
So again, they have the ability to add staff and capability when they're deploying with Marines, and you know, it's the kind of thing, like, until I had been there and seen it, I would have never even thought about that. And this is, to me, why the great value of being able to go on a tour like this is because you just start to understand more of the mission and the challenge. I mean, it's not like they can just, you know, we got five wounded. Let's just go pull into the neighborhood emergency clinic. You know, it just doesn't work that way, right? We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on Cervantes Street between Perry Avenue over the Bayou Chico Bridge westbound, you're going to see some delays, maybe about a 10-minute delay there. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, you know, you can always text me, 437-1620. If you have a question about anything that's going on in the show or about, like, on the McCool, I may not know the answer, but I'll try to find it for you. But if I do know the answer, I'll try to tell you. One of the, I don't know, odd, maybe just different things about being on a ship is every room is a number. And the number is meant to teach you or tell you exactly where you are on the ship. It's actually a series of three numbers and then a letter to tell you the kind of room that it's in. But this is Commander Mark Benke explaining the numbering system. So if you're ever lost on a ship, you can't really be lost on the ship. It is very easy to feel lost on the ship because inside, without outside references, if you don't know your way around, where am I? Well, there's every room, every wall, every portal has a numbering system, so you can't be lost on the ship.
I know there's a few questions. If you're seeing some numbers around on any of the bulkheads or walls, as you might call them, right? So you're seeing over there, 1-TAC-8-0-TAC-0-TAC-LIMA. That means probably a lot of nothing to most people out there. Mm-hmm. But that's how we navigate on board this ship. Any space you're gonna go in, you're gonna see that. That's what's called a bullseye. So that first one is gonna tell you what deck or level you're on. Right now we're on the first deck. Second number is gonna tell you what frame you're at. So right here, beginning of this space, so that front wall is 8-0. Second one is going to tell you where you are at center line, so left or right on the ship. And then L is going to denote what kind of space it is. That second piece of information, frame 80 to 94. So this space will cover that to that. And then what division is responsible. So as you go around, you're able to kind of know where you are on the ship by looking at the bullseye.
So to put it a different way, the main deck is a 1, second deck down is 2-3. And then if you go up, it's 01, 02. Okay, so below or above the main deck. The ship frame is how far from the front you are. Let's say there's 300 frames on the boat. You might have, you know, 80 would mean you're about a third of the way back or a quarter of the way back on the boat. And then the third number is are you left or right of the center line? Are you port or starboard of the center line? I think it's odd numbers are to the port and even numbers are to the starboard, to the right. And then the last one is the kind of room that it is, like it's A for supply and stowage, or E for engineering, or M for ammunition, or V for void is empty. You know, like, so it really tells you everything you need to know about that room. Other things that they showed us that were just kind of interesting is, you know, fire hazard is a really big deal on board a ship. And then how to deal with fire and especially smoke. And so when you go, especially in the medical area, but other areas as well, you see all these little orange boxes on the wall labeled EEBD. And you're like, what is that? It looks like the tribbles from Star Trek. They're just all, I mean, there's so many of them all over the place.
Yeah, we could talk about EEBDs you'll see around in a lot of our spaces as well. So if you see those orange boxes on the wall, we've talked a lot about our firefighting capability, right? So on board this ship. EEBD is an emergency escape breathing device. A couple of you back in the day may have had, I'm trying to remember what it was. My father used to talk about it. It had the burning wick in it that would burn.
Yeah.
SCBAs.
No, not the SCBAs.
OBA.
OBA, yep. So OBA, that you couldn't get wet, otherwise you'd die and it would explode.
By the way, part of what was such a delight about taking this tour was it wasn't just media and Navy. It was media and Navy and then people who are on the commissioning ceremony and people who have long time, you know, retirees who are, you know, older but had a lot of experience on ships. So they were bringing a lot of questions up and a lot of knowledge, and hearing them interact and hearing the Navy, the, you know, the young Navy interact with the old Navy, it was just really, really neat flavor to the whole event.
So this is the new version. This is what we have now. Emergency escape breathing device. It's basically compressed air. So if you were to wake up in here or in one of your berthing spaces or in your office space, there was smoke, gives you 5 minutes of breathable air to get out. And SCBA, we do have a lot of those on board as well. Those are mainly going to be concentrated around our repair lockers. Those are for actual firefighting, normally 45-minute bottles, some 30s for the investigators. But those are what you'll see around mounted as well.
And as soon as I notice them, I notice them everywhere. I mean, and because if there's a fire and there's smoke and you got to be able to get out to safety, you need to be able to handle, like if you're in the bunking area or if you're in the, you know, after they've been treated at the OR and they're, you know, in the bunks there, I'm like, all of those areas have loads of these things. They also have, and again, this may come as no surprise, but until you think of it, you don't think of it, dental. They have 300 sailors on board. They need to be able to see patients for their routine, regular dental, whether it's, you know, maintenance cleanings or whether it's surgeries or anything like that. They can take care of all of that stuff, everything from crowns down to cleanings. And same thing with pharmacy. They have an onboard pharmacy that prescribes everything for working with the OR for any kind of, you know, if you've got a raise or lower the blood pressure, they can do that. But everything from, you know, drugs that people need for their ordinary health conditions to, you know, aspirin, ibuprofen, and all that kind of stuff. Again, all on board. Last little piece for today is that, you know, there are some spaces that are just connecting quarters. And I will tell you, by the way, if you ever get a chance to go on the ship, don't trip. Eyes on the floor. Also, eyes on above you, because I bonked my head real good coming up one of the ladders. And let me tell you, the ship parts don't move. If you hit it, you hit it. You'll move, not it. It was just a little, like, bar sticking out that I didn't see. I'm like, what did I just... Oh! So watch where you're putting your head and your feet, especially. So many times I thought I was going to trip and die down the stairs because they're pretty steep. Anyway, so they've got these hallways, again, that are functional.
All right, I think we got everybody as we're walking. Welcome to our I-95 P-Way. Named after our favorite interstate, right? So this P-Way goes all the way from the flight deck all the way forward to our second weapons elevator, which is when we unload stores, we can bring forklifts all the way down through here. After this, we're gonna go up about three or four flights of stairs. Please don't get lost, follow the person in front of you.
Yeah, and so we went to the front and then we went up to go to the bridge. And on the way, I noticed that on one of the walls, bulkheads, I don't care. I don't know the terms, but there was a on the floor they had 4x4s, not loose, but like sort of in a device that contained them, but you could get at them if you needed. And so I asked, you know, why are you carrying 4x4s in the middle of this ship?
What are the 4x4s for?
Shoring. So those are shoring, sir. So if we were to take any metal damage. Or maybe there was flooding and we need to support the deck above us, we can cut those shores, we can put them into place. Primarily we use metal nowadays, but we can still keep wood on board.
Ships run into things, ships get hit by ordnance, ships have problems, and you need to have shoring capability right there to keep things from collapsing or holding up the level above you or the wall around. I mean, you know, it's, again, kind of obvious until... If you don't think about it, then it's not obvious, and then as soon as you ask, you're like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. So... 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Again, information about the commissioning and the tours is on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3. You can see it for yourself. Everything is free and open to the public, but you will have to register before the events happen. And those links are not live just yet. If you're thinking about selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they'll take great care of you. You know, when you hire a realtor, and that's what it is. You know, you're hiring a realtor, somebody who's going to represent you in these transactions and work on your behalf and, you know, hopefully get you the best deal possible. You want somebody who understands the market. You want somebody who understands the challenges that can come up. And the way you handle challenges, you know, getting all the way through to closing, is having done it a lot. Well, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty have more than 40 years of combined experience. And last year, they sold 175 homes. Pretty good. You know, it's pretty good. 3.5 a week. They have a process for selling a home. Has to do with everything from staging to photographing to the way you write your listing on social media to promoting the open house to the timing of the open house to the price you set. All of that, and even follow-up afterward. Like, all of that stuff designed to get you the best possible deal. And then, once you've got a contract, getting you all the way through to closing, which is the goal, instead of, you know, running into problems that then can't be solved. Same thing on the buying side. Okay, you might not think you need a buyer like with a new home, but Christina Leavenworth, she knows how to work with the builders because they need to sell their inventory and they're motivated these days to have you have them buy down your points. A little thing, but there's other things they can do to make it worth your while to have a real estate agent, even when you're buying a new home. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. We got traffic on the fives now with John Pickens.
That's right. One accident to let you know about if you're traveling on Avalon Boulevard and Siena Mid Road, right at the light. We've got a vehicle crash with roadblock that's causing some delays both in the northbound and southbound lanes of Avalon Boulevard. So that's about a 15-minute delay, so just be prepared for that one. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/TC17+. End September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Conservative Republican Walker Wilson, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership. Wilson is a fiscal conservative who will cut taxes to give hardworking families and seniors on fixed incomes relief from rising prices and make life more affordable. Wilson will invest in infrastructure projects to ease traffic congestion and upgrade our aging stormwater systems to protect our neighborhoods from flood risks. Walker Wilson will fully fund the Sheriff's Department to keep us safe, work to give the sheriff the power to enforce our immigration laws, and push to recover the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on benefits to illegal aliens. Walker Wilson has deep roots here and shares our North Florida small-town conservative values. Vote for Conservative Republican Walker Wilson for Escambia County Commission, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership.
Paid by Walker Wilson, Republican for Escambia County Commissioner.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Man, he's just like Triffindicular, you know?
Whoa, higher and higher, baby. It's a living thing.
You know you whistled even though it's a string performance. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. He's so Triffindicular.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Trump campaign is attacking Kamala Harris's running mate, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. The campaign's press secretary calls Walz a West Coast wannabe who is a dangerously liberal extremist. Walz is a former educator and congressman who served in the Army National Guard. Well, Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance will both be in Michigan today. Harris will be in Detroit with her new running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, and is going to meet with the leaders of the United Auto Workers. Vance is going to be in the suburb of Shelby Township this morning, where he'll be giving a speech at the local police department. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, the problem is he looks like a, you know, high school geography teacher, yeah. Coach, football coach, normal Midwestern dude. But the words that come out of his mouth are radically West Coast liberalism. They're right there in Minnesota. But he's a very engaging and charming guy. But the looks don't match the policies. Local news.